Nice. The mic's working. Thank you for the servant, whoever came up. Was that you, Derek? Thanks for fixing that, man. I was having trouble. What's that? It's still dangling. Well, it's at least on there. Good to be with you all this morning. Christopher, good to see you. Man, worship was wonderful today. Thank you guys so much, and thank you, Father. Lord, we just want to worship you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. We want to, you know, it's interesting, preparing a sermon I was telling my cousin on Friday night. My cousin was in town from Cleveland. I don't get to see her that much. She's a bit older than me. And she said, oh, you know, preaching, she's like, oh, you're preaching Sunday. That's interesting. She's like, that has to be kind of stressful. And I was like, not really, because the goal is to rely on the Lord. But preparing a sermon, it's easy to have, like, you've spent so much time on it, and it's easy for your mind to be really wrapped up in the sermon. But the thing about today is that today is not about a sermon. It's about God. Today is not about even the worship set or something. It's about God. But that's why I love worship, just going and going and going and the presence of the Lord, because that's what we're here for, because we want to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection. Okay, so first off, we're going to do a little something. I'm going to jump right in. Christopher, would you, well, I'll kind of maybe share your testimony. I'd like to pray for some backs. So right off the bat, I'd like to see people with bad backs get healed, and the Lord wants to see that too. So we're going to press into that. We've been seeing a lot of backs get healed. Christopher, even if you have a pretty big voice, would you be able to even stand up there and share what happened or even come to the front for a second? Sorry for the short notice. Christopher had a really neat experience coming back from the men's retreat. I'll hold my mic at risk of not being able to get it back on my ear. I'll hold my mic in front of him. Well, this way it'll get on the podcast.
So my wife and I have only been coming for a couple of months, and our first couple of visits were times like this where we prayed for backs, and that's a little unusual. And I grew up as a Pentecostal preacher's son, but it's not something you see a lot anymore. I was a little bit, you know, weirded out by it. I'm thinking it's just a little Benny Hinn moment or something, but you know, if you pray for rain, you take your umbrella, right? So we were coming back from the men's retreat, and I was sharing with Kenton and Lenny that my back has always kind of hurt because I was in an accident years ago, but that I've never really come up and asked for prayer because it's never at that, you know, 6 or 7 pain level that we talk about. So you can see the marked, you know, change over the course of the service. Kenton goes ahead and encourages me. He said, well, you should go get prayer anyway. I mean, you know, God's going to heal you if it's in pain. Lenny says, let's pray for you now. So we're driving down the road. They lay their hands on me, started praying for me, and immediately, I mean before their first sentence was done, my pain was gone. And I wasn't expecting it. Praise God. I mean, and it's been gone. I mean, I've had some moments, you know, where I could have had some back pain. It's not there. God healed me.
Hold on 1 second, Christopher. Come back up if you would. Come back up. First of all, I believe the Lord's saying to you that your father's generation is not the only one that's a preacher. So I just call out the gift that he's put in you, first of all, because I feel like you have a gift and an anointing to minister the gospel. So first of all, that's the first thing that got passed to your generation, man. And then secondly, I wasn't expecting that, but that was clear as day. Secondly, I'd like for Christopher to say how long his back had been hurting, like week, month, or
since 1988.
So, that's pretty awesome. The interesting thing is that, you know, if I was to walk up to one of you, I might have you stand up here still. If I was to walk up to one of you and say, hey, do you want to be sick? You would say no. If you were sick and I said, do you want to stay sick? You would say no. And the Bible says that God gives, the Father gives better gifts than we can give. The Father gives better gifts than we can give. So it's his nature to want even better things for us than we can even imagine. And so God wants to heal us all the time. Now, what we're doing, like Brad said for last week in Philemon, or Philemon, or Philemon 1:6. I joke about it so much I don't even get it right, probably. So Philemon 1:6, you know, the Rad Brad version talked about how the releasing of your faith would have power on it when you recognized what's inside of you. So the issue isn't that there's not faith in you. We're not searching for faith somewhere like, I just need some experiences so I can have more faith. We're not just saying, hey, I need some more maturity so I can have more faith. What we're saying is we just need our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to get out of the way, get out of the way with unbelief, so that the power of God that is inside of us wanting to come out to enact his will on earth can come out. So we're going to activate that. Would you stand up, please, if you have any pain in your lower back at all or any part of your back? Okay. One, two. Great. Cool. Paula, great. Gino, you too? Okay, thanks for coming forward so I can make that clear. Kate, great. Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. Last week, Brad said Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Okay? So what's cool right now, your brains, many of you, if you're anything like me, are probably going to something like, muster up faith, muster up faith, muster up faith. Doesn't need to happen. In fact, if Kenton and Lenny were to tell you, they didn't have like some sort of like crazy like revelation moment of the power of Jesus Christ in the car when they prayed for Christopher. They just prayed, and God did the work. So God's going to do this work right now. We're going to ask him to. Sometimes we don't see it because, like I said, we've got to have our unbelief stop, like go away so we can our souls can line up. But what we want to do right now is start pressing in. So I believe that there's healing for people's back. So if your back hurts, lay your hands on your back. And if you're close to that person and either you're their spouse or you're of the same sex, just to make it comfortable, maybe lay your hands on their back as well if they're okay with that. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Father, Christopher and I are going to ask the Father to release healing over these backs. We thank you, Father, that you're a good healer. We thank you, Father, that you're totally good all the time. So, Father, we release your healing right now over each and every back in this room. Release your healing over each and every back in this room. I say tension be released. Tension be released. Discomfort go in the name of Christ. Alignment come. We release total healing over each and every back in this room, and the favor of your presence would release wholeness over each of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you do the work. We just right now, Lord, we believe. We believe in the blood of your Son. We believe that it conquered all sin, all death, and all sickness. So we believe right now, and we release healing over each and every back. Pray, Father, right now, heal, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Christopher's not the, well, keep praying. Christopher's not the only back we've seen healed. We've seen about 14 backs, maybe 15 backs, where the pain has gone significantly down instantaneously upon prayer in the last like 3 or 4 months, probably 15 backs. So right now we release total healing, Father, total healing. Thank you, Father. You've done it before, Lord. We ask that you would do it again, that you've done it before. It is your nature to heal. We release healing over each and every back. Thank you, Father. Receive his healing. 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 Thank you, Father. Receive his healing. Oh, thank you, Father. Receive his healing. That's a word for today. Receive his healing. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Receive his healing. Receive his healing. He is totally for you. Receive his healing. Thank you, Father. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Come to him. Believe. Receive his healing. Receive his healing. Thank you, Father. Release total healing. Total healing. More, Lord. All the way, Father. Each person, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We exalt you, Lord. Your name, Father, above all other names. Thank you, Father. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Okay, let's go ahead and check in. Yeah, raise your hand if you felt. So what was sometimes helpful is to make it numerical, scientist here. What was the pain before 0 to 10, like if you're at a hospital? And then what was it, you know, now? What is it now? If you felt a drop, a significant drop in your pain level, you can raise your hand, please. Cool. What would you say your pain was?
I mean, today it wasn't really bad coming
Mm-hmm.
3-4 range, but just the word tension and God just like
there's no more tension. Cool. That's sweet. So did you feel a difference? Zero. So from 3 or 4 to zero. Amen. Thank you, Father. One of the things that's really powerful is to honor testimony, because when we honor testimony and release testimony, it actually releases the power of Jesus to do more of the same, right? And so what just happened right there, what's your name?
Andy.
What happens right there is we just heard, you just heard and witnessed someone who had pain at 3 or 4, so not excruciating, but kind of uncomfortable, go to zero. So you experienced a new facet of the nature of God, or you experienced a facet, it might not be new to you, experienced a facet of the nature of God, and now Bill Johnson says it's illegal not to believe that for the next time, right? And so Andy's back went from 3 or 4 to zero because God's good, and he loves us. Okay, how about yours?
Uh-huh.
That's sweet. Amen. I don't know. It feels good now. Praise God. That is wonderful. That's sweet. That's my sister, by the way, which is just so, all the cooler. Praise you, Lord. who else? Yes, Laura. Mm-hmm. So he can heal it. Whoa, come on. Come on. Woo! So just to get that on the podcast, since I didn't bring the microphone over, so Laura not only, she didn't have back pain from like a pinched nerve or a muscular tension or something like that. She actually had back pain from internal things going on, kidneys, liver, glandular things, like she was saying, and she prayed one night, and the pain's been gone since, so that's been a couple weeks, which is really cool, because that's a different sort of healing. See, what happens in us is unbelief gets cast out by experience. Unbelief gets cast out by experience, so it's important that we seek to experience God, because if the only way that we ever cast unbelief out is through knowledge, then as soon as someone presents a new knowledge, we get confused. Right? But unbelief gets cast out by experience. And so what happens is, as we get different types of testimonies, we need to take those in and we need to steward those testimonies. So because what happens is we have Andy who's getting healed of muscular stuff or some sort of tension. My sister who's having some sort of thing, maybe a pinched nerve when she leans back, that feels good now. And we have Laura who has a different sort of thing, which is more glandular and internal. And so now we can say, hey, we can not only have faith to pray for muscular, skeletal sort of stuff, but we can also, we've seen this before too. So we start to develop this storehouse of faith. And what you do is you start small. Like, I'm okay with starting humbly with backs, okay? People that have prayed for healing a lot have, like, kind of say that pain is like the low-hanging fruit. You know what I mean? Like paying for headaches and for back tension, that sort of thing. It's the low-hanging fruit of healing because it's easier to believe for that stuff, basically. And so we tend to have more unbelief praying for cancer. But I want to see cancer healed too. Why? Because I don't like people dying from cancer. That's no fun. So I want to see that too. But, as, you know, we can do these steps as well, see people healed now, and we develop our faith. And then we know what we've seen, and we trust, and then we press into the next as well. Anyone else feel any difference? Gino. Amen. I feel good. Woo! What was the pain level before? Was it perceptible? Yeah. But like good to go now. Amen. That's sweet. Amen. Amen. Father, release the healing over the other stuff. Amen. Amen. Come on. That is awesome. Anyone else experience healing? Janine. Uh-huh. Wow, that's like pretty intense. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, Roger, why don't you lay hands on Janine? Father, we release all the pain as well. So thank you, Lord, that the tension's gone. Now residual pain be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 4-0, Father. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that you're good. You're good. Thank you, Father. Just right now, Father, just a breath of fresh air over Janine's back. All pain be released. Everything, Lord, just come back into alignment. Perfect, perfect, perfect. No pain. Perfectly new. Thank you, Father, over Janine's back. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Janine, do you feel any difference? It's all right if you don't. Okay, cool. So it was a 4. Would you say it's less than the 4 then?
Yeah.
Like?
Because, like, if I push it on it,
yeah. Yeah. So, Father, we unpinch nerves, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Uh-huh. Thank you, Father. Very good. Praise you, Lord. So that's another one. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? It's all right if you didn't. No, no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we've been wanting to see scoliosis healed. Seriously. That's the new territory we're pressing into. Yeah, but it would be nice if it was made totally new.
Right.
Okay, cool.
But I also have, like, my upper back is really intense. And this morning, I was just, it's been intense for, like, 7 or so years.
Uh-huh.
Hard as a rock, awful. And even this morning, during worship, I was thinking, like, my shoulders are kind of feeling, like, looser. Like, that's weird.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so Kelly, why don't you pray for Kate? Let's usher in scoliosis healing in our midst, because there's no need for people to have scoliosis. You know, scoliosis is like a curvature of the spine. It creates all sort of pain, and just it's kind of like just it causes a lot of trouble, as you might imagine, not having a straight spine. But the Lord's given Kate an upright spine. So Father, we release healing over Kate. Thank you, Father. Father, we contend for scoliosis to be healed in this place. We pray, Father, that this would be a no scoliosis zone, because you are good. Because you are good. So I just pray, Father, that you would straighten her spine right now and just release total healing over her spine. Thank you, Jesus, that you are totally, totally good. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Healing. Healing, healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've made Kate's spine well. Thank you, Father. We stand on the blood of Christ. That's our confidence. Jesus' work. Jesus, we commit it to you. Thank you, Father. Kate, sometimes people will feel it move. When I've prayed for people with scoliosis, they'll feel something move. Did you feel anything move at all? Okay, cool. Well, we'll keep pressing in. That's sweet. Thanks. Okay, anyone else? Cool. Yeah. So, Father, we pray an evening out for Sarah. Thank you, Father. Just an evening out. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, Lord. Just an evening out. Thank you, Father. Alignment come for Sarah's hips and back and knees and just the whole thing, Lord, that can sometimes be out of alignment. Just alignment come. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And pain get out of both sides. And just ease be released over Sarah's back and hips. Thank you, Father. Did you notice it go away at all? Cool, good. More, Lord. Thanks. That's sweet. So, this is really wonderful. Paula, did you have something too? Okay, go ahead. 7-1. Come on, minus 6. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Okay, so here's what's really cool. I think, what's that? Oh, Christopher. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Let's just thank Christopher for releasing his testimony. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, man. You know, it's funny is what happens is there starts to be a group of people praying for things, you know what I mean, that have faith or don't have unbelief to let their faith come out, right? So in either case, Christopher, thanks so much for releasing that testimony. I think, I don't know if it was everybody that stood that got healed, but it sure seemed like almost all of them. So praise you, Lord. Father, we just give glory to you. We praise you, Lord. This is all about you, Father. We thank you that you desire to see us healed and well. We just pray, Father, that you would anoint your words, Father. Lord, I want to serve, Lord, through sharing your words with your strength for your glory. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we're just going to keep worshiping you. Thank you, Father. This is real fun. Okay. A quick recap of today's sermon is going to be about entering the rest of God, which I'm really excited about. It's a work the Lord's been doing in me for a long time. Long time is relative, I guess, since about May, maybe for years too, but really specifically since May. What's interesting is the last time I actually preached was in May, it's been like this kind of wonderful hiatus of like 5 months of not preaching, and you know, I was kind of putting the dates together, and I think it was like the week after I preached last that the Lord basically started a new work in me that, although it will continue, literally finished like last night. And so it's you know, God's timing is never coincidental because he's purposeful and he can control everything, you know. So he's just done this wonderful work in me. And I would say it's basically around the rest of God, entering into the rest of God. And it actually dovetails, I think, well with what Brad's been speaking about, namely about us having a spirit, soul, and body, and that we have been given a perfect spirit, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Right when we received Christ, our spirit is made 100% perfect. And then the process of the Christian walk is about that spirit, letting that spirit live out from the inside of us to transform our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And as our soul gets transformed, what happens, as Brad talked about last week in Philemon 1:6, is that the power of the faith of Jesus Christ, which is on the inside of us, because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us after we get saved, the power of our faith actually comes out when we kind of line up with what's on the inside of us. We come into full knowledge with what's on the inside of us. So if you remember last week, Brad had the Brad version of this translation based on the Greek. So it's about the releasing of your faith, becoming powerful through the full recognition of what's already inside of you. So Father, thank you for that word from Brad last week, and we release more recognition of what's on the inside of us. I pray, Father, that you would bring us into a place of rest today, Father, that we would start trusting you more fully to live from the inside out, letting you transform us and bring about your work in our lives. Okay, so this is fun. Okay, so that's what Brad had talked about the last few weeks. And Brad also mentioned, I already mentioned this, that Jesus plus nothing is everything, and Jesus plus anything is nothing. Bennett, if you'd go to Galatians 2:21, which I think moving forward. Sometime during worship this morning, it was really, really wonderful. I think it was... I think Ryan said it about, there's a verse in Galatians that says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free, right? Now, what's interesting is that, like, the next half of that verse, or maybe it's Galatians 5:2, says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. See, the slavery is trying to be justified by your own works. That's the slavery. Because it says anybody who tries to be justified by works of the law is under a curse. You're literally under a curse. But Jesus set us free from that curse, right? So it's for freedom that Christ set us free, right? What God does is he sets us free. That's Isaiah 61, Jesus comes on the scene and he says, I'm going to set you free. But what Satan wants to do is he wants us to rely on ourselves and come out from underneath that new covenant that Jesus has given us and try to make it, kind of make it with our own works again, right? And Galatians is all about that. Like, if you really want to get your mind around this, read Galatians all week long. Galatians is a letter that Paul wrote to a people that he's saying, are you going to then nullify the grace of God? So having begun by the Spirit, are you going to finish by the flesh? So he says, how did you receive the Spirit? How did you get born again? Was it through your own works? If it wasn't through your own works, then why are you now trying to be perfected by the flesh? See, what Brad's been talking about is counterintuitive because it's, you know, Colossians 2, 8, 9, and 10, I think, basically says, don't be deceived, don't be duped by kind of submitting to the natural principles of this world or human philosophies, right? So God's saying, first of all, just because someone's back is out of line doesn't mean I can't heal it, natural principles of the world. Just because someone has a broken bone doesn't mean I literally can't heal it on the spot. Just because someone has cancer that they say is terminal doesn't mean I can't heal it. That's seen all over the world by Christians all the time. Cancer gets healed, right? So in either case, by the way, this is too cool. One time one church was praying for someone in South Africa, college student, dorm room. This guy only had half a thigh. So they prayed that the Lord would give him a leg. Because I don't know about you, if I only had half a leg, I'd like a leg. And God gives better gifts than us. So what they did is they prayed remotely for this guy in South Africa. His thigh grew, then a knee grew, and then his calf grew, and he had a whole leg. Everyone in the dorm room floor got saved. You think? Okay. Okay, where was I? That's just too cool. And it's the same God who here today, you know, took pain away from six or seven people's backs because he wants to see people well. See, what's interesting is Isaiah 9, I think it is, says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The goal of God's government, in my opinion, is peace, shalom. The goal of God's government is peace. That's interesting. So, like, the goal of the American government, I would say, is independence or freedom. That's pretty good. That's like a God value. It's for freedom's sake that God set us free, right? I mean, what was America founded on? Independence. Now, Isaiah 9 says, of the increase of Jesus's government and of peace, shalom, there will be no end. What Jesus came for was shalom. Now, shalom doesn't just mean peace, like, hey, we're not in wars anymore. It means total soundness, wholeness, everything made perfect. Has anybody else got, like, that Hebrew word even better than me? I see some nods. Do you guys, did I miss any part of it? Completeness. Nothing missing. Alignment with God. So is that what it means, literally? That's awesome. Yeah. So shalom doesn't just mean peace. It means everything right that you've ever wanted. That's what God wants to give to you. His government means, his government or his kingdom means where he's ruling, right? So when God's in charge, what he brings is total rightness, shalom, peace, wholeness, completeness, nothing wrong, everything perfect. That's God's goal of his government. When God's in leadership, when you're in alignment with God, what he brings is perfectness into every situation. That's what God does. So, I'm going to actually, go to, if you would, please, go to Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, which is about three or four slides forward. Okay, thanks. This is a verse I've been meditating in kind of this, most of this time or part of this time. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Okay. Hebrews 3 and 4 is a really neat section of scripture, and it basically draws a parallel, by my interpretation of it, it draws a parallel between Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt and us coming out of slavery to sin. Okay? Slavery to hell, more or less, right? See, the thing is, Egypt was representative of hell. I've heard Graham Cook say it was the most occult nation in the world. Like, if you think about, like, we're kind of used to thinking of, like, the pyramids, like, oh, yeah, you know, and they did this, like, mummying, and, you know, they had all these different sort of drawings on their stuff of these different gods. And, you know, you kind of read Moses' story, and there's, like, sorcerers and stuff like that for the Pharaoh, and it's, like, it's easy to kind of be like, oh, yeah, that was just Egypt, you know, but you're like, oh, it was a cult. It was demonic. Egypt was, like, governed. But, like, spiritually, it had, like, a demonic thing over it. And here the Israelites, God's chosen people, are in slavery to the most occult nation in the world, right? And so what's interesting is God leads them out of Israel through Moses, kind of like out of Egypt through Moses. Thank you, Sweeney. Through Moses, acting a little bit like a savior, leads them out. They cross the Red Sea. And they're free from slavery. They got set free from sin. Set free from sin. Like, Egypt was sin. One big ball of sin. They were under it. They were enslaved to it. And then they got set free from it. So they came out into the wilderness. And God was ready for, you know, that whole, what was it supposed to be, like 40 days or 14 days? I forget what people say. Anyway, they could have walked for a couple weeks and got to the promised land. But instead, they walk for 40 years and they don't get there. Now, what's interesting, if you have your Bibles, you don't need to open them, but what's interesting is, I'm going to read a little bit to give this story. I'm going to skip through. I'm starting about verse 7 of chapter 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Okay, moving a little bit ahead. Verse 16, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. I'll come back to that. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us, Christians, just as to them, Israelites. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it did not meet with faith in the hearers. Faith or belief could be translated belief. For we who have believed enter that rest. Moving ahead to verses 9 and 10, which is on the slide. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So what's interesting is, as Christians, it says, verse 2. For good news came to us, Christians, just as to them, the Israelites. So God set them free. They were free indeed. And they walked around in the wilderness, not believing God. Is that possible for us? Could it be possible that we've been set free from sin, Egypt, the occult government, the government of hell? Could it be that we've actually been offered to step into the government of God, which produces perfection, peace, shalom, completeness, wholeness? Could it be possible that the people that have actually been set free might not walk into the promised land? Because I've thought about this, and I'm sure different people have taught it different ways, but I figure as soon as they went across the Red Sea, they were free. The chariots were buried in the water. They were set free. But they was in the wilderness. God had promised the promised land, but they didn't make it. Okay. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has rested from his works, from our works, as God did from his on the seventh day of creation. If you'd go to Romans 5:1, please. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, it's a different word for peace here, not shalom. But who's writing this, right? He's writing this to Hebrews. They know what peace means, right? Therefore, since we have shalom with God, or therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have shalom with God. We have promised land living with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing. If you go to the Hebrews chapter 10 slide, in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about why this is. So this is just a brief overview. But here's the reality. In the Old Testament, what happened was they constantly had consciousness of sin. And so what they did is they offered sacrifices over and over and over. And even on the Day of Atonement, the Levitical priest would enter the Holy of Holies, and there's a whole set of sacrifices that they would have to perform. And one of the sacrifices would be on the scapegoat. And what they do to the scapegoat is they take this goat and they lay all of the sins of the people of Israel on the head of the scapegoat, and then they'd send it into the wilderness to die. And so, in either case, those sacrifices were repeated. Hebrews talks about this a lot. If you want to wrap your head around this, just read like Hebrews 3 and 4, where we're starting today, through about Hebrews 10, until Hebrews 11 starts and talks about faith, which is not a bad place to maybe keep going. It's really good. But in either case, if you want to wrap your head around this, but basically the Old Covenant, there were sacrifices over and over and over and over and over and over, and it never dealt with consciousness of sin, really. It's just like ceremonial washings and stuff so they could come into the presence of God. And they had a day of atonement every single year. And this is just constantly happening, right? But now Hebrews 10, for by a single offering, he, Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It's a really powerful verse. I skip ahead a little bit here. I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. This is the Father talking about the new covenant. In the new covenant, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. What's interesting is even David had a revelation of this in Psalm 32. He said, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Just like Brad's been talking about, we have a pure spirit on the inside of us. God's counting no iniquity towards us. He doesn't have like a debt out on our name. He's not sending a collection agency for us, right? Where there is forgiveness of these sins, lawless deeds, there is no longer any offering for sin. And so, I need to watch my time. So, okay, here's my story. Since I've known the Lord, what I do is I try to walk as the Lord would have for me to walk. And as I've done that, I've also come closer to him and I've known him more. But often, I find myself in my quiet time coming before the Lord and not quite coming fully into his presence. Not having rest to come fully into his presence. See, what's interesting is there's no more sacrifice for sin necessary. So a question to ask ourselves today is, do we find ourselves offering sacrifices for sin? Was Jesus' sacrifice enough? Did God pour out all of his wrath for sin onto Jesus? That's a question Graham Cook asks. Did he get it all out? Or does he still have some left to give to you? Was Jesus, you know, it says, I'll answer it. Jesus was a worthy lamb. Worthy is the lamb who was slain. The only sacrifice we have left is to praise God. The only sacrifice we have left is to praise God. So I think the place where I want to kind of take it today is that, so Megan and I have been reading an autobiography recently. Usually I've read the word mostly. Sometimes I'll read like a Christian book, a good Christian book, written by an author that like experiences a lot of great stuff. But recently we've been reading some autobiographies of revivalists. And there's one, Charles Finney, that is unbelievable. So this was a lawyer who one day decided, I am choosing today. Oh, this is good. I am choosing today to make my peace with God. And he had gone to a church and stuff, but he knew he had not made his peace, shalom, with God, right? So he said, I'm choosing today to make my peace with God. He went up into the woods and prayed. Hopefully I get most of these details right. He went up into the woods and prayed all day long, 7, 8, 9 hours. Not that it matters how long, but he kept pressing in. And he left the woods that night, and he felt like a wretched sinner. Here's why. He went there feeling like a wretched sinner. He went there saying, I need to make my peace with God. And then when he left the woods, he said, oh my goodness, what a wretched sinner I have to be. Oh, I'm worse than I thought. I don't even have any consciousness of sin. I'm way bad off. I don't even have any condemnation. If I was to look inside myself right now, I can't even find an ounce of condemnation. I can't find a bit of guilt. I can't find a touch of shame. What a wretched sinner I am that I can't find those inside of me. That's what he was thinking when he left. Okay, that night, his ministry started. He had a dramatic visitation from Christ. He said he described it as waves of liquid love coming over him. This was back at his house. Waves of liquid love coming over him that were so intense that he thought he might die if they didn't stop. Okay? That's what he experienced that night. Tremendous baptism of the Holy Spirit. The elder, you know, so one guy comes in and it's like, what is wrong with you, dude? And then he goes and gets an elder of the church, and this is a very serious man, this elder of the church, and he comes in and the elder goes into spasmodic laughter as soon as he gets in his presence because God's all over him. And then from there, a whole ministry gets released. Charles Finney saw 500,000 people come to the Lord through his ministry. He would pray outside of a town until the presence of God got so thick he'd come in and people just get saved. Okay? Now, what's interesting, I think that all revival hinges upon a dramatic revelation of Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that that is the core of every revival that's released because that is what makes living for God so I don't even want to say worth it. It's like, it makes what we just go. Because God is so amazing and his love for us is so great and the peace we experience in his presence is so tremendous and that there's no division between us and him. There is no dividing wall anymore. There is not a curtain between the Holy of Holies and us, because if we've received Christ Jesus, Jesus' body was ripped in half so that we could come into the Holy of Holies. Not on our own merit. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't take up your own works. What we need to do is not only get set free from Egypt, but then not take up our own works. They wanted God to set them free from Egypt, but once they were set free, they didn't want him to set them free anymore. So we get set free from sin, and then we want to, like, take up our own works again. And then we ask God to kind of micromanage our, like, our sin habits or whatever, because what we're really trying to do is kind of still make our works good enough. God, if you could give me a little bit of help, I think I could have done it perfect. What we're supposed to do is put ourselves under the blood of the cross, knowing that that is what covers our sin. That is the place that we live from. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. So Charles Finney got a revelation of peace with God. And so what I've been experiencing, I'd say, for the last 5 or 6 months is kind of walking out this thing that Brad's been talking about. What if the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me is actually perfect? What if there's no darkness at my core? What if today I'm like him, right here and right now? 1 John 4:17. About 4 years ago, I was 2 years old in the Lord, and I started going to a Christian counselor, and she was amazing. And the first time I went there, I was really nervous. She asked me why I was nervous. I was terrified. And I said, I'm afraid that when we start talking, that I'm going to find that there's something really dark and bad at my core. I didn't know how profound of a statement I was making. I think that God means it when he said through Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I think that if we get a revelation knowledge, if Jesus gets unveiled to us for who he is, I think that we can actually, through believing what he's done in us and for us and who's inside of us, I think that we can actually be like Charles Finney and say, I can't find condemnation. I can't find guilt. I'm not aware of any shame, and I think if I looked, I still couldn't find it. I think that that's possible because God is for real. His gospel is for real. Jesus did set us free. His sacrifice was more than enough. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Holy is he. Holy is he. Holy is he. And we are in him, and he is in us. So we can have total confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world right now. Here's the trouble. I think that mostly we've learned to relate to God as a problem solver. We say the Lord's the ultimate problem solver. We don't say that. That's what we think. So we say, okay, so what I'm still trying to do is produce my own righteousness. So God, would you go ahead and help me with this problem? Because I've got an anger problem and I need you to solve it. Okay? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. God, with Adam and Eve originally, in a place of shalom, perfect peace, Eden, perfection, perfect relationship, he was not in the business of solving problems. He was in the business of having a relationship. So I think we have a mindset shift that needs to happen, I would say, in this body, and I've been experiencing it myself, so I'm right with you. I think we have a mindset shift that needs to happen. How do we approach God from a place of fullness? How do we approach God from a place of the finished work of the cross? Amen. Kind of like that. You see, what we tend to do is we approach God out of our need, and, you know, Get me right. That's who you should approach with your need. But I'm saying, like, it's fine for us to have need, but it's not fine for us to kind of, like, spurn the cross trying to make a righteousness of our own. Does that make sense? It's not fine for us to sort of say, oh, well, I just need your help, Lord, to get rid of this anger because I'm still trying to make it on my own, really. I'm still trying to prove that I'm righteous enough on my own. Just a little bit of help from you, God, and I think I should be able to do it. He's saying, you don't need to do that. There therefore remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for those who have entered God's rest. And by the way, that the rest they're talking about there speaks of Canaan. entering the promised land. Those who have entered God's promised land into his government of peace and perfection, of shalom, have rested from their own works as God did from his. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so the life that we live in the flesh, we live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. I think God is wanting to release a new type of relationship with him in this place. Late this summer, I realize I might be pushing here, time-wise. Late this summer, I was having these times with the Lord where I almost couldn't. I would read for the word for 30 seconds, and all I was reading was Psalm 37. I'd read it for 30 seconds, and I'd find myself literally kind of in the throne room of God, and it just didn't make sense to read the word any. You know, I was just like, and I kept kind of being like, I was checking myself. I'm like, am I like deliberately not reading the word? Am I not being faithful with this or something like that? But as soon as I'd start reading the word, I'd read one verse, and I'd be like, oh, and I'd be like in the throne room of God, and I'm just like there. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing. And then what happened was I started to have a little bit of a hiccup with that. I was like, where did it go? And the other week, Megan and I were having a conversation, her and me, about our marriage. And we were saying, this is kind of interesting because I don't know how to relate with you exactly out of a place of fullness. Because I was realizing that so much of our relationship has been based out of me needing something or her needing something. Or, you know, we each have a little bit of emptiness and we come to each other to fill each other, right? But we're realizing like, oh, lo and behold, somewhere along the line in our relationship, I just really don't, I'm really 100% content a lot of the time, like minute to minute, day to day, nearly all the time, filled, right? And she's feeling basically the same way. And so we're like, how then, like, what do we need each other for? This is going to, okay, so God says that, you know, God really developed marriage, you know, and he says marriage is his thing. And so it's got to be, and all we're doing is seeking the Lord. So we're seeking the Lord. Apparently, this is going to make our marriage better somehow. But right now, we're like, we don't have a vision for how that looks moving forward, like not coming to each other out of a place of need. So what we're realizing is like, oh, we're allowed to come to each other out of a place of fullness, not needing anything from each other, really just enjoying each other. Oh, wouldn't it be nice for me to come to Megan because I enjoy getting to know what's on her heart? Because I need something. Be nice if she came to me and just enjoyed knowing what's on my heart. She's probably better at that than me. But that's how the Lord wants to relate to us. He says that we can come into his peace, Sabbath rest. There's nothing between us. What's on the inside of us is perfect. All we're letting it happen is for that to live out, and it transforms our soul as we go. And so he's wanting to, here's the tension. Check your thinking as you're in your times with the Lord, because it might be that you're like me and you're actually handicapping your times with the Lord through having a problem asking the Lord to be your ultimate problem solver instead of your ultimate friend. You might be handicapping your times with the Lord by asking him to be your ultimate problem solver instead of your ultimate friend. God wants to, David was a man after God's own heart. Why did God say, I'm like really proud to make Jesus after David? Because David was a man after God's own heart. David was interested with what was on God's heart. Okay. He's precious. So I think the Lord's doing a really neat work in our church. This is really good. Brad has been bringing, I think, some of the best teaching. I know the best teachings I've ever heard on mind, body, soul, spirit, that whole thing. It is bringing clarity to me, and I know it's bringing clarity to many that I've talked to. And I think what the Lord is offering to us is to come into his promised land. I believe what the Lord is offering to the Village Vineyard is to come into his promised land. And that's going to happen individually in our quiet times with the Father. That's where it starts. Because individual victories equal corporate blessing. Okay? And so that's where it starts. It's going to start with our quiet times with the Father. So my encouragement to you, and maybe almost a challenge to you, is to ask the Lord about this sort of thing. Ask the Lord about this sort of thing. Because I think he probably has more rest for all of us than we know. More shalom, more wholeness, more peace, more fullness than we know. And as it relates to healings, and as it relates to salvations, and as it relates to doing the work of the kingdom of God and releasing the resurrection power of Christ, I think that those things will come in greater and greater fullness as we, in our times with the Lord, are after his own heart. Knowing that we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no more sacrifices for sins. So, Father, I release a blessing over us to not sacrifice for our sins anymore, but instead to receive. I pray right now, Father, that we would receive the full measure of the revelation of the finished work of the cross. I pray, Father, that we would receive the full measure of the revelation of the finished work of the cross. I thank you, Father, that your work through your Son Jesus is finished. Oh, Father, more, Lord. More, Lord. More, Father.